As I said, it is a special Sunday today. It's our Missions Fair, Missions Emphasis Sunday. And so we have asked Gary Graham, who is our missions team leader, to come and share with us today. And he's got something really cool to share with us. So Gary, would you come on up? We just give Gary a hand as he's prepared hard to share with us today.
Thank you, Pastor. Morning, everyone. Well, it's exciting. It's Mission Sunday. Amen? Yeah, it's great. Listen, before we start, I just want to say we're all going to be going downstairs afterwards. There's some snacks and coffee and tea. Everything's downstairs. Of course, there's the great beard shave off. Nobody wants to miss that. Or both, right? Pastor Dave? Pastor Joe? But before I continue, there's some representatives we have today as well for some of the tables that are downstairs. So I'll just have them stand. Jason Gertson is with the BC Parliament, and he's with us today. Thank you, Jason. You'll see him downstairs. He's representing Tim Schindel. And Iris Lee and Derek Koch and their daughter, Olivia, they're here today. They're helping represent the Wileys, and Iris Lee's over international missions, so talk with her later as well. That'd be great. And Rod Gray's not with our church, used to be, but he's with a Christian school. Rod's here today too, so thank you everyone for coming out and helping us. So I want to just give you an overhead there, Lindsay, if you want to put that up, just to give you a reminder of who we are all supporting. And you can see it up there. It might be in pieces. Dave said, we are local, we're Canadian, we're worldwide. We have a real good cross-section. So we have the Penticton Christian School represented right here in Penticton. We have, let's stay there. Don Richmond, he's with Hockey Ministries. That's throughout all of BC. It was another great time last night with everybody out there for the V's. That was super. Tim, as I said, is over Parliament, and Jason's here representing him. And then we also help Leanne McAllister. Leanne and Darcy really together. But that's specifically with Zoe Projects, Women's Zoe Projects. And then we can look at the next one there. The McAllisters are over into Europe as well. They're working Romania right now. The Bowlers are in Africa. They've moved over to Guinea, so we're helping them. The Blocks are, RAN is a restricted access nation. We think somewhere in the Middle East, but we're not sure exactly where they are. We're not allowed to say for fear of their lives, actually. But we help them as well. And then, of course, the Wileys in Thailand, where our youth are going to be going. And so we help them out as well. And we should mention downstairs, the Pettingers will have a table. They've just come back from Zimbabwe, and also Joanne and Slava Pepper, they have a table down there as well, and we help Teen Challenge. We're doing a lot of work, local Canada, around the world, helping out a lot. You guys give so much as a church. You gave for Deirdre and I when we were 20 years over in Africa. You gave and gave, and it continues now, and so much so that it's so exciting to say we've increased all of our mission giving to all of our partners this year. And right now, per month, Bethel gives $2,240 every month to the missions. Isn't that great? Amen. So come down, have a look at all the tables, lots of new info going, and talk with all of those representatives. But what I do want to do today is give you a very brief overview of the state of world missions today and the world religions that are in the world today and some of those figures. Again, very rough, very basic. But to do that, I need 12 volunteers to come up, and you need to come right away and stand up here on the stage. Come on, all you extroverts, get up. I told Ryan to come up already to start. Come on, quickly. Yeah, Lance, come on. There you go, great. So, and Deirdre, my wife's going to help a little bit, so I need 6 of you to come along this side. So come right over here, Pete. Yeah, you can go on that side, great. Thanks, John. Come on, quick. The quicker we do this, the quicker we can go have snacks downstairs, right? Yeah, there. Come on. Pastor can volunteer. Okay, how are we doing? Great. Good, Barnabas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Hey, we need some more. Come on, you guys. Yes. Where's all the extroverts in the church? Come on, Joe. I'm not going to embarrass you much. No, I didn't say that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We need one more guy here. Well, yeah. There he is. Thank you. You're probably a visitor and you're wondering what on earth is going on here, right? Good. Yeah, switch around. Okay. There you go. Thank you. All right. So here we have the world, okay? What I'm going to tell you is on this side right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is the reached or within reach side of the world, okay? Over on this side is the unreached part of the world, all right? So who can tell me the population of the world today, roughly? Anybody? Smart, eh? Not just another pretty face. 7.5 billion. People, okay? So we can put those up, but I'm going to show you a little bit, Lindsay, of the population of the world there and some of the basic figures. Christianity, 2.5 billion, Islam, and we'll go down a little bit. So Deirdre's going to help here. You guys are all representing different parts of the world, okay? So Joe is perfect because he represents Joe Christian. He's the strong Christian. He gets a Bible, a little thing there. He's an active Christian, okay? Praying, reading the word, going out and sharing like everyone in Bethel, okay? We're all active Christians. Got the Bible there, okay? So next we have our two representatives here. They say they're Christians, but you know, maybe they go on Christmas, maybe Easter, a friend drags them along or something. So, sorry guys, this is the only representation, okay? So they're nominal Christians, so they get to wear a little name tag. Otherwise, you wouldn't really know they're Christian unless you put a little tag on there, okay? So, you know, roughly, you know, 500 million active Christians, or evangelicals, we might say. Almost 1 billion nominals, okay? Now, you guys, okay, this is the reached or within reach side of the world, okay? So these guys maybe are right here in Penticton, in Canada, somewhere where there's a church close by in their country, okay? So they're close to a church, but they haven't accepted Jesus, so they're in spiritual darkness. So you guys get some fancy props as well. Non-Christians within reach of a church, but you're in spiritual darkness, so you get the glasses. Hey. Now, you guys weren't laughing at these guys, were you? No, you don't want to be doing that. Yeah, yeah. Pretty dark now. So over here is the unreached side of the world, okay? So, so we have Islam at 1.6 billion. Okay, we have two representatives representing them. You want to bring those, Deirdre? Okay, so, you know, almost, you know, over 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. So you get to wear your little Muslim cap right there. And you get your, oh, nice. And you get your hijab you have to put on there. Okay, wrap it up. There you go. Hold that over your side there. There you go. Hang on. Great. So next we have, next we have Hinduism. Now Islam, some of you know about Islam. Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet rather than, you know, rather than God, okay? Uh-oh, something's happening. Nursery. Okay, all right. Good, thank you. What a quick, that's great. So you get to be a Hindu now. And you get the little dot there on the forehead, okay? So I said it wouldn't embarrass you much, okay, a little bit. And you know, Hinduism, they believe in, you know, millions of gods. They believe in reincarnation. If you're good, you come back as a better person. If you're bad, you come back as a rat or a dog or a parking lot attendant at Bethel or, you know, something like that, right? Yeah, that's me. Hey, I'm one of them, okay. All right, so next we have our Buddhists, okay? Oh, we missed Buddhism up there, okay? But Buddhism's there. Again, roughly about 500 million. So Ryan gets to wear the nice saffron robe, okay? So, you know, Buddhism talks about the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. They say they're trying to get to a place called Nirvana, which is kind of strange, a sort of a place of nothingness. No love, no hate, no feelings, no, a strange place to want to get to, but that's the Buddhists, okay? A lot in Nepal and that area of the world. Okay, who do we have next? Oh, Lance, great. This is our tribals, okay? About a half billion. Tribal people, we worked with these a lot in Africa, folk religion. They are so afraid of evil spirits that they have to try to protect themselves all the time. So they get these amulets. Don't worry, this is not a real one. I just got that in the market. Well, who knows? Maybe it's real. No, I think it's fine. And they protect themselves that way. This is great because they believe so much in spirits. When you tell them about the Holy Spirit, and that's the spirit, they love to hear that. So we had some good work with them. All right, Jean's up as well. Okay, Jean's our last representative. She represents actually the atheists in the world, agnostic atheist people who don't believe in anything. So sorry, you don't get a prop because you don't believe in anything. So there you have it, okay? So isn't that a wonderful world? Don't they look great, everybody? But what else do we need? What else do we need to complete the world? Come on, it's Mission Sunday. Missionaries. So you thought you were all done. Oh, good, I don't have to get up there. We need 10 more volunteers. And this is the last of it, okay? 10, stand up right where you are. Let's get 10 people to stand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Okay, so Jesus said what? Go and make disciples, right? He said, go into all the world and make disciples and preach the gospel. So I want you 10 missionaries, you're representing the entire mission force of the world. There's about, according to my statistics, I get a lot from Joshua Project, traveling team, some good websites. There's about 500,000 missionaries out in the world right now. So I want you guys on the count of three to go stand in front of whoever you think most needs to hear the gospel so that the whole world will be reached for Jesus, okay? So it's a big task you have. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, off you go. Our missionaries are going out into the world. Here they go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And where are they going to stand? So the whole world will be reached for the gospel. All right, good. What a night. What do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's our 10th missionary. This is the entire mission force of the world. Great missions, great missionaries. So this looks nice, doesn't it? Looks like a nice cross section here, you know. Here's some people saying, well, listen, I can work right here in my own city, you know, my own neighbors or whatever, right? These guys, okay, I'm going to make sure they get over to church, right? Obviously, someone's got to work with the Muslims, and who's going to work with the tribals, and I'm going to convince these people, okay, looks nice. But this is not the real picture of the mission force in the world today. So I'm going to rearrange you guys and kind of show you what it really looks like. So Pam, I want you to move over to that side over there, please. I need you to go over there. And you. And Frank, I need you to go way all the way over there. And I need you to go all the way over there. And I need you, sir, to go all the way over there. So that's the real picture of the mission force. For every 10 missionaries, 9 out of 10 work where the gospel's already been preached, and only 1 out of 10 works in the whole unreached part of the world. Now, I'm not saying, Bethel, we're not saying, let's get all these people over there. No, because what did Jesus say? Go and make disciples, right? So you need people to have the Bible colleges, have the Sunday schools, the brand new church plants that are in countries to get people going. We need these people. But what we're saying is let's pray, even today in his Bethel, that God will raise up a whole nother army to send even more workers out into the field. And who knows that we won't send some into this area of the world. Amen? Well, thanks. Let's give him a hand. Put all your props over there, please, for Deirdre as you go. Thanks, you guys. I hope I didn't embarrass you. I did. I got Lance. So just as they go, Thinking about that, can you put up that next slide, Lindsay? There's a wonderful movement going around the world right now. Thousands of people are involved in this, and this is more audience participation time. If we want to say, Lord, send the workers out in the field, that's from Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 2b. It says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So a lot of people have started to do this now, and it's really caught on, that everybody at 2 minutes after 10 every morning, they have their cell phone set for the alarm, and when it bings, they just say, Lord, send out more workers. So isn't that cool? Thousands and thousands of people are doing that. So I want to challenge you guys, who's got their phone with them? You're not playing games on it, right? This is, I know when you bring it out, it's only to look at your Bible app on there. So who wants to do that? Who wants to take up the challenge? You just set your alarm wherever you are at 2 minutes after 10 every morning, it's going to go off, and you just say, all right, Lord, send out more workers. So let's do that. I've got it in mind right now. So you go to alarm. You just go to every day. 10:02. And save. And when that beeps, as mine does, even if I'm in a meter, I'm working or whatever, I just say, Lord, send out your workers. All right? Who took up that challenge? Some of us? Great. Thank you. Okay, so I want to continue now. Just finish with some thoughts that have been challenging me personally, and I hope we'll leave you with this, the Holy Spirit to work on you. To me, there are two parts of the Christian walk, okay? Boils down to that. There's our relationship with God, okay? And that can be represented by the vertical part of the cross. Every time you come in now Sundays, you see the cross. The vertical up is our relationship with God. The horizontal is our purpose. What are we saved for? So we have to start with that relationship with God. We all need that, right? Last time I was up here last year, I preached simple on John 3:16. Whosoever believes shall be saved. It's that simple. That's a free gift. Amen? He gives us salvation. And that's our relationship with God. It all starts right there. But the part that isn't free, in a sense, is how deep you want to go in that relationship, how intimate you want to go. Because what did he say? He said, you know, take up your cross, follow me. He said to sacrifice everything, right? Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's pretty hard teaching. But as you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the Lord, that's when he starts to reveal more and more of himself. I mean, it's that fulfillment, it's that more peace, all of that starts to come. And you'll find that as you go deeper. I even look at, you know, the Old Testament talks about that. Jeremiah says, you know, call unto me, God says, and I will show you what great and mighty things. And that's what we want. So we want to go deeper. We don't want just that superficial, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. I can come to church on Sunday. I can worship. I want to go deeper. And that's the relationship part. It's like, how many know the difference between alpha word and kairos word? Alpha is the whole Bible, the general Bible for us, right? But the kairos word is that specific word that God gives each of us sometimes. You can read a scripture over and over, and then all of a sudden he just wants to pinpoint something for you. And that's because you're getting deeper and deeper, and he's starting to show you more stuff. So we need that relationship. That's the vertical. And you notice, obviously, a cross isn't the cross unless that vertical is longer and bigger than the horizontal. But that horizontal is important. That's our purpose. So that's what I want to ask us all today. What is our purpose? Yes, we're saved, but what for, right? Yes, to worship God. We know that. But he wants us to do more than that. Why did God save me? And, you know, don't fool yourself. He saves us, right? He goes and finds us. He sends someone to us. He starts to nudge us to pull into the church, you know, or whatever. But he saves us. But for what purpose? And that's what I've been praying about, saying, Lord, what is my purpose every day? Or every week, or this month, or this year, what am I supposed to do? Right? Because what does James say? Without faith, without deeds, is dead. So we need that purpose. We need that horizontal part of reaching out to other people, whether it's, you know, at work, at school, at sports and social events, whatever, or somehow serving the Lord. So what is your purpose? You know, Esther, Queen Esther, in the book of Esther, it says that she was raised up to that position that she had for such a time as this, because she had a purpose. So I want to ask each of us, what's God raised us up to do, each of us? What's your purpose? And some of us know that, okay? And there are lots of different ways we can do that. Pastor Dave gave me a great book the other day on that and just how we can serve and what is our purpose. So for some of us, a lot of us, our purpose right now we really feel is helping the church, serving the church. And there's so many of you, they're all involved in that, from the greeters and the ushers and the coffee team and the Sunday school teachers and, you know, cleaning and cooking downstairs for all of our events and the parking lot attendants. Shout out to you guys. You know who you are. Right? And or maybe some of us, we're at that place in our life right now or right that we feel prayer is what our main purpose is, intercessory prayer, praying for all these mission partners, praying for those who are sick, praying just for this church to keep running. And I don't understate that fact. That's what keeps the church running, amen, Pastor, is that prayer. And some of us are called to just that constant intercessory prayer. And that's so important as well. And then there's others who find the purposes outside the church. Okay, and you're sharing however you can. I heard there's maybe a good street ministry might be starting up as well, helping out downtown with coffee and Bibles and whatever. That'll be exciting to do that. But how, you know, maybe that's what you're called to do more and more to your neighbors, to whoever. So just I want to give you another challenge here, but just a caution on this. Make sure you have the balance right. Because some people get so into the relationship with God, and that's great. But we're not called really to be, you know, to be monks, just to be in a cave somewhere and just praying. Yes, I'm getting closer to God, but we're not doing anything and not serving anywhere. So don't get out of balance that way. But at the same time, don't get out of balance with the serving. Because some of us get into, you know, we're serving, oh, I'm doing helping this and I'm helping with the church and I'm helping that. And what happens is our quiet times get shorter, our, you know, prayer times, our Bible reading gets a bit shorter. Yeah, but I'm serving, you know. Well, find the balance, right? And just look at that cross and you'll see what's the key right there. So let's find that, okay? So I just want to leave you with this last challenge, as I said. I got a bit of time. Can I tell one story? Can I tell one Africa story? Because I want to share again about purpose, okay, as we finish. But here's a great story about purpose. We were in the nation of Madagascar, just off of Africa, there off South Africa. And we'd been there for some months with the hospital ship, with the mercy ships. And Pastor and I was over the evangelism team, and we were book solid. We had the Jesus video. It had just been translated into Malagasy, the dialect in Madagascar. And we were so busy doing ministry. And this pastor, local pastor, came to me and said, you know, Brother Gary, can you bring your team and show the Jesus video out in this village that I've found and I've gone to a few times? And I said, well, Pastor, we're very busy, but yeah, if we can fit it in, we'd love to. Where is it? He said, well, it's about 4 days walk and canoe trip up in the interior. I said, okay, geez, is this what I'm called to? I said, well, you know what? We're very busy. And we were. I said, you know, I got to bring the generator, all that's projector. Powerful video, the Jesus video, if you've ever seen it. But, holy, how am I going to do that with the whole team? I said, but Pastor, you pray and I'll pray. And he said, oh, I've been praying. I said, oh, I'm sure you have. So I'll pray. And if God, if there's a way, then we'll do it, right? He said, okay. So, you know, how many times do you say, if there's a way, God, but then we're thinking, oh, there's no way. But sure, what happens the very next day, and we've been there a couple of months already on the island, the very next day, this guy comes to the gangway, comes up on the ship, He says, finds the evangelism in the department. He says, Gary, I represent MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, and we are on the island here. We have an evangelist that normally helps us, but he's been called back home to Europe. He's dealing with affairs there, and we don't have an evangelist right now, but we have a helicopter. And if you know of any unreached village anywhere else, well, as a matter of fact, and so we set this up. We got the pastor to come, and he sent a runner ahead. And the next week, I got in this helicopter with the pastor and all this equipment. And, you know, what would have been 4 days walk and canoe trip, like within a half an hour, 40 minutes, we were there. And they had knocked down the grass in this field, and we landed. And it was like Hollywood, man. I got out of there, and they run up to me. They're all feeling my skin. They'd never seen a white person. The men had been into the town and seen some, you know, expats, some white people, but the women and children, they never seen a white person. It was incredible. So there we were. So that night, we set up the Jesus video, and, you know, praise God for the Joshua Project, is the ones who started that. Showed this video and the whole life of Jesus, the miracles, the teachings, everything. And this pastor had been talking to the tribal chief, right, to the chief of the village. But then we put up the call. We said, you know, who wants to accept Jesus? And, you know, right there under that sort of African starry night, you know, this chief knelt down, and we all knelt down there, and some of his elders, and he accepted the Lord. And it was incredible, right? I was just like, wow. And it was so neat because before we left, we left him a cassette, one of these wind-up cassette machines, and it had the whole gospel, the whole Bible on cassette in his language, that as a gift to the chief that he could listen to, right? Excuse me, when we weren't there. So off we go. The pastor comes back about a month or so later, just before we were leaving. He says, I just want to tell you, the local pastor, he said, I want to tell you that whole village now has accepted the Lord, and they are sending people out into the other villages now, and they're doing a whole ministry. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Wasn't that cool? Now here's the question. Who had the greatest role in that whole story? Who had the biggest purpose to see all that happen? You know, think about that. Okay, well, yeah, the helicopter. If you hadn't been able to get the helicopter, you couldn't have gone and done that. Well, what about the Jesus video? You know, who spent all that time making that video and translating it? What about the cassette scriptures? Wycliffe did translate all that so they could read the Bible, hear the Bible. You know, what about the pastor? He was praying and praying and praying to see that all happen, right? Me, I was just kind of having fun, really. I was just going for it. But, you know, who had the biggest role? Well, maybe you thought, maybe you know the answer, right? Listen, if we all do what God asks us to do, then his purposes are going to be accomplished. Amen? So everybody did what they were supposed to be doing. And it all happens. So that's the challenge to all of us, right? What is our purpose? And when we find that out and we start doing that, God is going to do amazing, amazing things. Amen? Okay, I want to just finish. I want to ask you, come back. Let's come back to the worldview demonstration, right? Because we want to say, okay, Lord, how do you want to use me? Continue to use me in the church? Amen. This is great. Bethel's growing, growing, growing because you're a serving community. Use me here, Lord. Prayer, are you calling me to more prayer? To just drill down and focus on these mission partners. They need our prayer so much. You know, the community. Lord, are you calling me out into Penticton to serve somehow? But I want to believe in a group this size. You know, maybe God is calling one or two or more to the unreached mission field. Maybe there's that piece of you that's going, you know what? Maybe that's for me. And I pray that all of us can be like Isaiah. You want to put that scripture up, Lindsay, this last scripture. Here's Isaiah's commission. He says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Wow, that's a big scripture. That's a big scripture. But maybe that's true for some of us here today in whatever capacity we're supposed to serve in. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a mission-minded church. Thank you for Bethel. It's so involved that way. And we want to pray today for blessings, Lord, your blessings on every mission partner we have, on all of their ministries, all that they're doing. And we go down, we just want to celebrate that today, Lord. But we also want to say to you, Lord, today, thank you for salvation. Thank you for our salvation. Hallelujah. It's a free gift. But Lord, will you continue to show us your purpose for us? Lord, what each of us is supposed to do, praying, serving the church, going in the community, Lord, going to the ends of the earth. What do you have for us? In whatever capacity, Lord, we say to you today, as Isaiah said long ago, here am I, Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen.